Hello, everyone. For those of you that know me, I'm Paulette Rigo. And for those of you that don't know me, I'm a certified divorce coach, a credentialed mediator, the founder of Better Divorce Academy, the author of Better Divorce Blueprint. It's hard to do backwards. And the host of a podcast. I do a lot of coaching, speaking, writing, educating, mentoring. I feel like I'm a Sherpa, a doula, or some even say I have my PhD in all things divorce. So I'm putting together this little interview with two of my dearest money friends in all things divorce, because we've worked on several cases together and they've always come out outstanding. Not that the experience is, you know, a day at the beach, but we get through it with a lot of grace and dignity, money left in the bank, and saving a lot of time, money, and bad decision making, which is key, right? That's what you want. You want to get through divorce, if you have to have it to begin with a really smart choice so that you can walk out of that mediation, that meeting, feeling like, well, you know, I can live with this. Both parties can live with this. Now, is it exactly what you might have envisioned? Probably not. It's always interesting how that happens. But when, you know, that, what do we say, at the end of the day, you really know that we did our due diligence and the ending came to a resolution that could work for both parties. Now, I, as a, I don't know, mediator and divorce coach, do not answer all questions. I can't. You know, I really do feel as if I have a good broad knowledge and deep knowledge of divorce, but there are three areas in which I don't entertain. Naturally, I'm not an attorney, so I do not answer legal questions. I can get them to the right legal professional when and if they need one, but I usually just push that along to that right professional so that I can avoid ever giving them the inappropriate advice that I don't give. Number two would be mental health diagnosis. I do not diagnose. I do not prescribe medication. Sometimes I think I might know what's going on, but I do not go into the world of mental health. I'm certain that I make sure that they get the right mental health practitioner, particularly when it comes to children and any addiction or abuse issues. And lastly, money. Anything having to do with finance that is complicated, it requires the expertise of, well, two of the experts I have here today, Mike and Lauren. So I introduce Mike Bean and Lauren Tanksley. They are working collaboratively together in a business, as you can see, Divorce Sense, and they're CDFAs. And I really feel confident when I bring in an expert when it comes to the money aspect of a divorce case that can be complicated. Now, if you're listening to this and you've been married a year and you have no children and you're arguing over a bicycle and a toothbrush, you're probably not going to need to listen to this interview. But if you've been married for a significant amount of time, and what is significant? Oh, probably 10, 15, 20 years. You have children, you have significant assets, and of course, significant will be different to all people. And maybe there's a little bit of an unlevel playing field of knowledge or access or awareness of financial assets and debt. You're probably going to need someone with extensive experience in finance to help you come up with different scenarios and a resolution that likely will be accepted by both parties. And also, if you're litigating, to be able to put forth a nice solid foundation of evidence and documentation and which to present to the court for your case. So with further ado, I introduce Mike and Lauren. So if you two would just introduce yourself and tell a little bit about how you started this business and why you do what you do, because I know everyone's dying to know why I work with you.
Yeah, well, that was an incredible testimonial and commercial for our firm. So we thank you, Paulette. That's fantastic. I'm not sure what we can add to that, but give you a little bit of background on who we are and how the company was formed. So my name is Mike Bean. I'm a CPA and a CDFA. I grew up in Boston, made my way to Atlanta back in 1986, where I went to business school here at Emory University, and I stayed in just a beautiful area. And the Northeast was just too cold for me. So we stayed down here. And my CPA, public accounting, and then I formed my own financial planning and tax practice and eventually Divorce Sense LLC which we'll talk about a little bit later in our interview about how the company, why the company started. Met Lauren coming up on 6 years now. My work,
yes.
So hard to believe. Lauren's probably the best thing that's happened to me. Lauren, please explain who you are and introduce yourself to everybody out there.
Well, time flies when you're having fun, Mike. You know, I can't believe it's been 6 years as well. But my name's Lauren Tanksley. I am an MBA, CFP, CDFA. And I've been working in financial planning since 2004. I started at one of the big brokerage houses and actually did not even understand what a CDFA was until I met Mike. I actually went through my own divorce journey about 10 years ago, and I was just a mess. Even with the financial planning background and knowledge, I still made so many mistakes because I was emotional. I was making emotional decisions. And so I actually met Mike back in 2017, 16, and he wanted me to come along with him on this divorce since journey, and I've loved it, and I've never looked back. It's been one of the best things I've ever done. I feel like I can really give back to our clients.
Yeah, I think that's so well said, and you're right. It is one of the ways that we actually give back through our personal experiences and the journey that we both made. We both have been divorced, as Lauren said, as is Paulette, and we all have similar stories. And I think that's what brought us together, where we all share kind of the same value system for what we're trying to accomplish, which is to try to help our clients get through this awful, awful process as quickly, as expediently, and as educated as possible, which brings us to the CDFA process and who we are and what we do. And Paulette, I know one of the first questions you had that you wanted us to answer and to explain to everybody is, what is a CDFA? And I can't think of anyone better to explain.
Well, there's so many acronyms that I throw. I probably need to create a little Rolodex or a glossary of divorce acronyms that aren't necessarily even legal, because, you know, we just throw around these little acronyms and then we realize, like, what are those things? So, yeah, it sounds a little scary when you've got a lot of little letters after your name and they don't know what they are.
I'm just like impressed with myself that I have more initials after my last name than I have letters in my last name. You know, I'm just.
That is true.
It's like alphabet soup after your name. Yes. But I guess I'll just talk about what a CDFA actually is. So a CDFA stands for Certified Divorce Financial Analyst. And it's a designation that came into play from the Institute for Divorce Financial Planning. And what a CDFA actually does is we help with all things financial during the divorce process. And so, you know, through the divorce, there are four major components that you're dealing with. Number one, custody. Number two, child support. Three, alimony or spousal support. And then four, division of assets. And three out of four of those are actually financial pieces to the divorce. So that's something that a CDFA can help with.
And Lauren and Mike, also, even though the legal and physical custody isn't a financial one, it can lead into that road of it becoming one with who's going to pay for football and use and groceries and all those kind of like household things that we don't think, oh, it's not really a money thing. But if you can see how that natural path could go that way of creating conflict where money is now an issue and something that you wouldn't normally think would be. Maybe it's four out of four even to think of it.
Could be. Yeah. It really could be. So
with that money is a big part of divorce. What do we say? That money, marriage is about love, but divorce is about money.
Yes.
And we don't want it to seem so, you know, simplistic, because it's not all about money. There's a lot of the emotional side of it. And Lauren, kudos to you for bringing out that when you went through your own divorce, and thank you for sharing, because it's always vulnerable to, you know, bring up your own story, but you were making emotional decisions. And well, welcome to the club, you know, I mean, who doesn't? I don't know anyone that's gone through divorce that is emotionally void of having any mental, emotional, psychological feelings and thoughts and actions regarding their marriage and divorce. Now, naturally, the longer you've been married, the more baggage and story and you may have, you know, that's going to come along with it. And I myself, with my 8.5 years of a fully litigated case that included a 12-day trial and a 4-year appellate court process, I'm the 0.001% of divorce cases. I had zero interest in doing this work. And I do mean zero. I had many other successful careers, but because of that, it just propelled me into the limelight of this work. So I know you guys didn't have to go through that. And although Mike and I are both from Boston, you know, although the accent comes out a little more here and there, depending on where we are, there's a history of the story that you've had and I've had, and how that influences us to hopefully, we can't guarantee it, help them prevent having any of those mistakes. Our objective is to have them avoid making financial errors. And number one way to do that is to, well, work with professionals to help you do that, and to have it not become an emotional decision, and have it become, well, maybe a 1% emotional decision and 99% a practical financial one. One of the things I love that you both do is you give them these beautiful graphs and trajectories. And well, if you do this, then this, and if you do this, then this, and that's something I'm not capable of doing. And I'm like, that's so interesting. So with that, now we know what that designation is. Why would somebody contemplating or attempting to manage a settlement offer, you know, want to add a CDFA to their team? Because sometimes they don't even know they have it. It's go get the lawyer and, oh my God, what am I doing? And then they get the bill.
Yes. Right?
So why would they contemplate adding a CDF to their team?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And I think the best way that I can answer that is telling my story for a few minutes and then walk into what we do and why we do it. So my story is not quite as painful as yours was, Paulette.
Well, it's not a competition, but that's...
No, it's not. But, you know, when my wife came to me and asked me for a divorce, and we had an amicable divorce, an amicable marriage, it was just, we weren't meant to be married. And we sat across the kitchen table and divided up what we had, which wasn't a lot. And we talked about the kids and custody. We came up with an agreement that made sense for the two of us. And we were the first of our peer group to get divorced. We didn't know who to turn to. And we both went to an attorney and we asked them to just draw up the documents and make sure we didn't leave anything significant out. Because you don't know what you don't know. And to me, that was the value of the attorney in our process. Well, 18 months later and $30,000+ later, do you know what we agreed upon, Paulette? We settled and signed a document that was 99% what we had discussed and agreed upon a year and a half prior.
Minus the bill,
correct, a great point. And after the dust settled, and it took some time because the process almost ruined our ability to co-parent together. We had two little kids and it infuriated me and it brought out the worst in probably both of us. And I asked my ex-wife, who's now a friend of mine still, and we have two great kids, both in college. So this was almost 17 years ago. I said, what happened? Why did this take so long? And she said to me three things that I'll never forget. Number one, and you mentioned this, is her friends were all telling her she could do better. What her friends didn't understand is the law changed the year we were getting divorced regarding alimony and child support. And the law is constantly changing. And not only is the law changing, the process is different depending on who your judge is, because every judge looks at things differently. So the strategy has to change based on the judge, which is completely opposite of what really should happen, because it should be what does the couple want? What's best for the kids? Now, the second reason she gave me was my attorney said he could get me a better deal. And he was right. He was right. And then remember, I told you it cost us more than $30,000, which I know compared to a lot of people is nothing as to what their expense is when they go through this process. But he, yes, present company included, he got for her an additional $400 a month for 14 months in alimony. So that's $5,600. And at the time, that was taxable to her. So maybe she netted $4,000 at the cost of $30,000 plus to us. So the cost and benefit certainly didn't seem there to me. But, he was in her ear and he convinced her. She listened to the head trash, what I like to call it, is the head trash listening to other people. And she made a decision that really was detrimental to the process. But the third reason she gave me, which really resonated with me and is where Divorce Sense was born out of, is she said to me, Mike, I didn't understand my financial future based on this settlement agreement. And I kind of looked at her with deer in the headlights because as a CPA and a tax preparer and licensed financial advisor, having done this for years, the numbers just went through my head and I could do all my projections and I knew I was going to be okay if I did A, B, C, and D. Well, she didn't know that and she was scared. And all her attorney, and this is no offense to attorneys, but maybe offense to her attorney, who I'm not a fan of, all he could do to her is say, this is a good deal. You should take it. The real question to me that needs to be answered and that everybody has a fear of and they want to know is, am I going to be okay? Am I going to be okay financially? And when I really listened to my ex-wife and heard that message loud and clear, that's where Divorce Sense came. And that's where we created a company with our value proposition was to answer that question. There are several other companies across the country that do what we do to a certain point and they stop. They'll do the forensic accounting work. They'll come up with a list of all the assets. They'll help you figure out what child support is based on formulas and calculations. They'll do the premarital carve-outs and look at inheritances and all kinds of fancy calculations that we have to do on stock options and et cetera. But where we, I believe, go the extra miles, we take all this information, all the settlement proposals, and we run it through our financial planning software, and it will project the next 20 years, 30 years, whatever period of time we want to project out to answer that question, am I going to be okay, or do I need to continue to fight? Because our role is to really educate our clients about their different options, and fighting just to fight, the only people that win are the attorneys. But when you receive a settlement offer that is above and beyond where the work that we've done, which says this is what you need to be okay, now you have a different decision to make. From an educated standpoint, you can say, I'm going to take this offer, even though I believe I could get a little bit more, but I get to move forward with my life. Or, you know what? I know I'm going to be okay, but I still want to get more out of him. And it is now a conscious decision to run up legal costs. And I have my little guest here with me. She comes everywhere. So I apologize, but she keeps crawling up on me. So anyway.
She's the cutest baby.
It's okay. I have mine right here.
Oh, boy. I don't. Mine is sleeping somewhere.
We're just trying to humanize ourselves here, I guess. So why would you ask us to come into the process? Because we are an additional cost. Number one is I believe we'll do it for less money because the attorney basically outsources all of that part of the process to us. So because we're not quite as expensive as most attorneys, and this is what we do, 50 hours a week, 50 weeks a year, we can get this done a lot more efficiently for you. We're not balancing 30, 40 open divorce cases that an attorney might have. So we can give you the attention that you need. And we're going to answer those questions for you. We're going to do those projections for you. We're going to be the ones in there fighting for you or telling you when you need to fight. Right. Or when you're at a point where you're going to be okay, so you don't need to fight anymore.
Right. And that alleviates uncertainty. And as soon as you can start to alleviate uncertainty for either side, and hopefully both sides, like I said, if they look at this and they look at the numbers and the schedule and all the other aspects of the settlement agreement, and they can say, I can live with this. And it dials down the fear and the uncertainty because that's what it is. And I love what you said with when your ex-wife said, you don't know what you don't know. She just didn't know. She had a complete lack of knowledge. And most people don't have a general knowledge of finance. Even attorneys, when they get a divorce, sometimes fall apart, even though they know the law. And I see some fiduciaries fall apart even though they know it, because it's, you're too close. You're, when you're swimming in the pool, you're treading water in the pool, even if you have the expertise and all the little letters after your name and the education, it's hard to sometimes be objective, right? I always say it's amicable until it's not. Many people will come to me and say, oh, we're in full agreement. We want the same thing. We know exactly what we want the children's schedule to be. He's agreed to, or she's agreed to, what the child support should be. They haven't even gone on and tried to figure out what the court says it should be. Maybe it's too much. Maybe it's not enough. Who knows? And then they really don't know. They just don't know. And then you get the complexity, or the soup of adding more people to that, that are combative, right? And it drags on and drags on. So yes, it's an additional cost, but as you can see, the ROI, or the return on your investment, is well worth it. If you cannot be in court for a year or two or three, and you can shorten the duration, just think of how much money you'll save and legal fees. Most divorces now in the world I'm in, and granted, I think a lot of that depends on what state you're in and whether you're near a cosmopolitan city. But right now, I mean, I'm seeing an average of $40,000 to $60,000 in legal fees, and that's an average. Some of them are over $100,000, some are 20 or 30, but I'm rarely seeing legal fees that are under $10,000. It's a dinosaur, right? Am I wrong?
No, you're right. Okay. That's a typical retainer that we see.
Yes, absolutely.
Our typical client, or it seems like the client that has been mostly attracted to us, has been the stay-at-home spouse, the non-working spouse, or the less sort of wage-earning spouse, who just really hasn't played a role in the finances for their entire marriage, and they're at a significant disadvantage. So we help take that fear away and help handle all the finances for them. I would actually think that the spouse that they're getting divorced from would be happy that we're involved, because now they have an educated party that can communicate about what's happening, instead of using the word excuse or responding with, I just don't know, I don't understand. That has to be very frustrating. So I believe, even though the other side might view us as a threat, we really are there to help both parties and move this process along by educating our client.
Well, I've seen firsthand where you're able to move the process along, because typically the attorney sometimes will get stuck, and then the mediator even has to play good guy, bad guy to keep the process going. And whether it's an in person or virtual, it is very easy for that process to become derailed. So when you have somebody to come in to show you have tangible, pieces of paper and whiteboards and graphs, and there you paper doesn't lie, and the calculator doesn't lie. So, sometimes we push the wrong button, I'll give you that. But for the most part, I mean, I'm famous for that. I'm like, wow, you make a lot of money. And then I realized, oh, I think I just multiplied it and not added it. So
the whole power position is important. Absolutely.
You do not want to employ me in your firm. But regardless, I can see where that emotional aspect gets stuck, because it just becomes, a Jersey barrier right there. Just boom. It's like the guillotine comes down and, well, that's it. And they get up and they're all pissed off and you suck and maybe other choice words, but I think we could pass with just that word. And there's so much anger and resentment and bitterness. And this, you have to remember, these are people that once loved each other and once, lived together and raised a family together. Well, we all know. And all of a sudden, oops, not so amicable. So now they know what a CDFA is and what you do and how that works. And so let's see the common errors or mistakes that you see people make, if they were to, maybe even people that don't have as complicated a case and are on the fence about, gee, would that be a professional that I need to take on? Or maybe I'm on the fence. And I'm sure you can delineate hourly and common rates and all that with clients specifically. But for purposes right now, I'm sure you see commonalities of errors that people make. So I don't know which one of you or both of you want to answer that, but what boo-boos do you commonly see people doing that make you want to pull your hair out?
Is that the technical term, boo-boo?
Or... I think it is, yeah.
Perfect. So we are actually going to share in responding to this.
Okay.
Real high level about mistakes that we've seen for people who are not divorced? And Lauren's going to answer the majority of this question about going through the divorce process, what mistakes we see. And so, and I know you see this all the time, and it's hard to say it's a mistake, but it's what happens. Typically during a marriage, we divide up responsibilities. The man does X, the wife does Y, right? And most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, the wife is not responsible for the finances. And we have seen that is a tremendous hurdle that we have to get over to help our client understand what the current financial situation is, and then how to build out financial skill sets moving forward. Because once the divorce is final, they are on their own financially. And
that's scary.
Right. And this is not a great phrase, but sticking your head in the sand and ignoring your finances is not an excuse. There's not a judge or a jury that will take sympathy on that explanation anymore.
Right. You should have known better.
Right. And the other
being a babe in the woods doesn't get you off so much.
It doesn't. Especially if you're contemplating divorce, you need to start jumping into the finances as soon as possible to try to figure out what is actually going on in the family household. And I'm going to say something, this might be a little bit controversial also, it may be a topic for another podcast with you, Paulette, but what we have been seeing, at least specifically here in Georgia, is that the courts are not as friendly. I even like to use the word punish the stay-at-home spouse who's given up her career to raise the kids. Alimony is not lasting as long. Child support is a lot less than what it used to be when I was going through my divorce. That's when the laws changed 15, 16 years ago. And so that whole phrase, keep me in the lifestyle that I was accustomed to, does not hold water.
Yeah.
So I would say if you think there is a divorce or potentially a divorce in your future, start getting a career started now. And I hate to say that because the nuclear family was built for a reason, but we're in a different day right now. And the courts, we've heard this said 1,000 times, you rode your spouse's financial coattails for the last 20, 25 years. What makes you think that they need to be responsible for the rest of your life after you get divorced?
Yeah, it is shifting.
Yeah, right. And it's a hard pill to swallow. So that's my before divorce boo-boos.
Get involved.
Boo-boos, yes.
Get involved. Understand it. Ask questions. You know, make sure you have all the passwords, the login and passwords to all the accounts. Where are they? What are they? How much is there? Where did it come from? How do we pay our bills? Credit cards. Like, don't just be like, oh, well, thank you, honey. You know, and I do have know a few men that digress to the wife too. So this isn't necessarily a male female thing. And also with marriage now being, you know, for gay marriage, like we can't even, you know, we have to be very controversy with, you know, pronouns, but without getting controversy, whichever partner isn't doing it, get involved, do it. Right. I made that huge mistake too. I just didn't have anything to do with the tax returns, kind of trusted the partner to do the right thing. And, you know, for 20 plus years, it was just like, oh, great. Wonderful. And then I don't know where what is this? So I do see that a lot, Mike. That is very common. Now, I also see the alimony, you know, the criteria basically is discretion of a judge, which, well, what the heck does that mean? That's like, you know, picking a color or a flavor of ice cream. You know, it's still ice cream, but it might taste different. You know, every judge is different. They're people too. And it's funny how they're called judges. Well, they judge. That's what they do. They're judges. So, well, they're so judgmental. It's like, yes, they're judges, right? So discretion of a judge, length of marriage. Well, that could be a little, you know, and need.
Yes.
The ability to pay. Well, right. What is the criteria of need? That goes to lifestyle, right? Do you need to, you know, get a massage every day? Do you need to, well, some people would say I need 4, you know, so whether, is it a celebrity, like, you know, versus some people have never had a massage in their life and others are like, you know, have a live-in masseuse. So now what is that lifestyle? And as you're saying quite eloquently, the courts are really not interested in your lifestyle anymore. They're really not seeing a lot of, I'm going to use the word sympathy for that. And ability to pay is tricky because then you get, well, I lost my job and I can't do that anymore and I'm going to retire. And then there's Social Security and la, 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 la. And I don't want to use money from that because that's the family's money. And oh my. So I'm always a big fan of the buyout, but that's another conversation. So the money part is so key to that.
It's tremendous. And Lauren spends a lot of her time helping our clients understand their cash flow. And it's amazing how many times we'll regroup and I'll hear, I had no idea I was spending so much money. Or,
oh yeah,
I don't want to go backwards. And we'll have to tell our clients the assets are not there to support your lifestyle because your lifestyle is greater than what it really should be.
And they get very upset with you when you may have to mention that something might have to be liquidated.
Right.
So they get
or if you have to have that conversation that, you know, you can't have this lifestyle anymore, or you may have to look at working at a, you know, getting a job or, you know, those are hard conversations to have. And a lot of times we do have to give our clients a reality check. Now I do it gently.
Of course. And obviously our conversation here is more education than client-based. Right. So some people are already well aware that they maybe have a lifestyle shift coming. And that may be one of the reasons they're avoiding divorce too, because they're just willing to make a change. So now, Lauren, what do you see them doing, you know, not prior, because that can obviously, as Mike said, set you up for, I hate to say failure, but a bit more obstacle leading towards that. If you're in the dark, you're not going to have as much knowledge and confidence moving into it.
I can't tell you how, I mean, we probably work with, what do you say, Mike, 80 to 85% stay-at-home moms or wives?
Yeah, so probably right around there.
That's common. Yeah.
It is common, many times a controlling husband. And we've seen the other way around. I mean, it doesn't depend on what gender you are, but so many times when my clients come to me, they're so beat down and they're so scared, and they've been bullied and they just want to get the divorce process over with. And so it creates this thing in their mind where they say, I just got to get this over with. And I don't care. I don't want to fight. I'm just going to move on with my life. And I've seen that so many times that I've had to talk clients out of that. You know, we really need to, you know, pull our bootstraps up, look at the finances and figure out what settlement's going to make sure that you're going to be okay. And I've had to have so many of those pep talks. And I can't tell you how many times, you know, as we get through the divorce process, after the divorce, I have clients that come to me and say, thank you for giving me that pep talk because I wouldn't have been okay. They just wanted to get it over with. I mean, I can relate to that because that's how I felt through my divorce. I just wanted to get it over with. I just wanted to move on with my life. And unfortunately, I didn't have a CDFA. So
neither did I.
Yeah.
I didn't even know they existed.
So. I didn't either.
In fact, what year did the designation begin? Do you remember?
Oh, that would have been nice to give us that question.
I know. Yeah, I think I had to be.
I'll put it in the notes, but I'm curious because my divorce started in 08 and I don't even know that it in its infancy, but it certainly was not rolling off my tongue, you know, as having a fight. And I did have a financial person that was helping me and I did have a CPA, although they were not giving me the kind of advice that I know that you do now that, you know, we've worked together and I know what that is firsthand. So now when they do throw in the towel, I like to call that, Lauren, you know, where they're just like, please, I'll do anything. Like just, I equate it to like the last hour of labor for women, right? Most women relate to that. When they're like, just put your hand in there and rip it out. Like just, you know, give me a C-section. Yeah. I don't care. I want it out now. I've seen that. And divorce, it can sometimes feel like that last.
It can.
Just please make it end. Please make it
end.
So I can say I can't relate to that analogy. However, I want to probably a little bit of what Lauren was saying. The other day she said it so well, where we've kind of noticed throughout the course of our career here at the Divorce Sense that with the moms, it's typically about the children is what they want to fight for, the custody, custody, and making sure they're going to be okay. With the men, it's about the money. And we have to constantly remind our clients, and Lauren did it so well the other day, that for this transaction, this business transaction, which divorce is, unfortunately, that's what it really is. It's a legal transaction. Our role is to help you and to get you to understand this is about the money for you, because without the money, you cannot provide for your children the way you want to.
Exactly.
And here's a caveat to that too, is that children grow up.
We hope.
And at what age do they become emancipated and are now adults? It's 18, although back in the day in Massachusetts, where it used to be 23 with college, and that's a whole nother thing with, you know, but most it's 18. And 18 is like here before, they're 18. Like, oh my God, they're adults, right? But if you don't plan ahead, the money, it does, 18 is, yeah, you know where I'm going with that. So. Right. You know, children grow up, money doesn't. So yeah, you have to really, yes, you have to have the money to provide for the children. And also, what are the ages of the children? Are they 2 or are they 16? You know, so it, that has a lot to do with that. That's such a great point, because the parents tend to be, or the I hate to, you know, the mother typically, who is the stay-at-home mother, that is their identity has now been, you know, created by being wife and mother, wife and mother, wife and mother. And that's all they can see. And it's really hard for them to change those lenses, that you're no longer going to be his wife and you're no longer going to be, you know, the sole caregiver, because now you have to co-parent, which is scary, unless they're for some reason given sole physical and legal custody, which is rare. Some people have a hard time with that one too. You have to have significant grounds to get that. So if you're co-parenting now, even if you were the sole provider during the marriage, suddenly you're thrust into this role of having to share the children, which they can also resent and feel uncomfortable with. And that's a whole nother emotional thing. It's very confusing for them. Yeah.
Definitely. You know, I think there are just so many mistakes that we see, but I think it's just so important to surround yourself with experts that know what they're doing, that can educate you on your finances, what the future can look like. Because I just see so many divorces that, you know, they're just not successful these days. They don't, you know, they don't seek that help that they need.
Correct. Yeah. So when somebody comes to you, you normally, it would be at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know,
do they ever come to you during?
Yeah. When I think we've had quite a few that come. Yeah. Yeah. They figure out in the middle of the process, oh, I might need help with my finances. And I can't tell you how many clients have come to us. They don't even know what's on their balance sheet. They're already, you know, 6 months into the process and they don't even know what their budget is or their balance sheet.
They don't have a budget.
No, they don't.
What's a budget? And then do some ever come to you after for investment type of?
Right. Absolutely.
Okay. So there's many options, right? Now, when they come to you before, because obviously everyone, that's optimal.
Yes.
The more you plan and the earlier you have your ducks in the row, it is always better. You're going to feel more confident, more resilient, more prepared, more knowledgeable to make smart choices. So early is best, but don't despair if it's, you know, you're already a little down the path. You know, it's not too late. But for those that come to you early, whether it's word of mouth, Google search, testimonial, web, who know, however they find you, what do you require of them or recommend that they bring, or so that they can be a good client for you? What do you want them to come with, and how can they prepare? Because that's a big fear.
It really is. So when someone hires us, we send them a document request list. So we're looking for financial statements. So bank statements, credit card statements, any type of liabilities that they have. If they have a mortgage or a car payment, we look for tax returns, social security statements. So we pretty much, we have a list of everything that we would like to look at. It's a wish list. Now, sometimes it's hard, you know, if the client hasn't been involved in the finances to track some of this down. So many times, you know, we have clients and they can't even bring us anything and we have to wait on discovery. to get the documents that we need. And if we don't have documents, we can start thinking about post-divorce life and putting together a budget.
I'd say they don't know anything.
Yeah.
Are there things? Go ahead.
What percentage of it, and I'm sorry, I think we're going down the same path here, but I think it's a big fear that a lot of our clients have is they don't know anything. They don't have anything. Help level the playing field here for people who are listening to this, what percentage of the clients, when you're really getting into the nitty gritty of their finances, know nothing about their finances?
I would say at least 75 to 80% have no idea.
Yeah.
So you're saying that most people aren't alone when they're going through this process.
Right. They're not alone.
Their finances.
So I think so many times, you know, our clients feel isolated. They feel like I'm so stupid. I don't, you know, I'm the only one that doesn't know what's going on in my marriage and my finances, but they are not alone. It is so common. So don't be afraid to ask for help.
Right. And don't be embarrassed that you don't know what tax returns are, or you're not sure what bank account that the checking account is in, or, you know, whatever, not to say 401ks and pensions and all those other more complicated, nuanced financials, but just the average day to day. I mean, some just have a debit card. They put everything on the debit card and that's just how it goes. So yeah, be careful. I mean, in my world, it's probably 50-50, 50% of them know everything. They're the ones that are and others are like clueless.
Right.
So
it's
a little bit different because naturally they're coming to you because they do need financial help. And that is your expertise. So, well, I can't thank you enough because this has changed the world I work in as both a mediator when both parties, as a private mediator, not a court appointed one, I should say. I have been a court appointed mediator, but not my idea of a good time. So I prefer to be a private mediator where I work with a couple where they both want to avoid litigation as much as possible, where I just create that memorandum of agreement with them. It's a collective process. We work together to keep facilitating that conversation to create that agreement. I give it to a transactional attorney that then with their, you know, approval and all. And again, they are technically representing one of the parties. And then they have the right to have that reviewed by an attorney separately to make sure that it's to their liking before it is submitted to the court. But not everyone can do that.
Exactly.
Not everyone can do that. How many people can do that? 20, 30%. It depends, right? How long have you been married? What transparency is there? And how badly do both parties want to avoid a public, you know, court experience? Because don't forget, litigation is a public experience. Now, a mediation can be part of a litigated experience, and it normally is. So, but, you know, every case is different. Not everyone has to go to trial. Now, when they do come to me, and it's normally one party, and they know nothing, and they are in the dark, and they're in a long-term marriage, and they're very overwhelmed and fearful, I'm coaching them as if I'm getting divorced with them. I don't get divorced for them. That's illegal, but I get divorced with them, and we do it together, like a partnership. They're still making all their decisions, but they feel that they have, you know, that person there that can listen and help and guide and kind of nurture and also prevent them from throwing in the towel and making poor choices when they're really unsure that they just aren't ready to make a decision. But that's when I then say, let's look at the whole case and figure out what you need. And when the finances are complicated, and usually because they're that case that we talked about, Mike, earlier, they're just like, I don't know, then I really suggest it. I think I'm going to introduce you to someone. And they usually go, oh yeah, excited. So I know it's made a huge difference in the outcome in the cases that I've worked with when a CDFA or a team such as yourself. And I love that the two of you collaborate and work together in a team because you complement each other so well. Obviously you have your own personalities and demeanors and expertise, but it's a heavy job and it's exhausting. So I think it's nice you can lean on each other from time to time. I fly solo for the most part, but it is nice that I have those lawyers and real estate experts and mortgage experts and fiduciaries and also insurance and taxes, mental health, and co-parenting GALs and parenting children specialists, because sometimes that gets complicated. I feel like I'm able to give a much better experience and product based on the experts that I bring to the table for my clients based on their situation. So I don't have to answer the questions. So how much will I get? And how can I buy a house? And, you know, how much alimony will I get? I can't answer those questions, right? It's a very case-dependent answer. I mean, we can throw a dart at the wall and see if it hits something, but they really want specifics, don't they? Yes,
they do. And there's no one-size-fits-all case. As you said, every case is different. And we have to look at each case individually and come up with what we think might be a good settlement.
Right. And I'm sure you also have attorneys and mediators and other experts that you work with. And I also wanted to point out that you do some forensic accounting as well. Right. Yes. Which is nice. Not everyone needs that, but some people do. And what is that? It's like a money FBI agent, right? Kind of a little.
That's the closest I'll get to an FBI agent.
Now we don't want to use that term right now. A little investigator, a financial investigator, right? So just basically tracing money, right, where it goes and where it came from, and kind of the little Zen diagram, right? The family tree of the money. So because it's confusing. I remember back in the day, we can wrap up when banks actually sent you every month a statement with all the canceled checks, and my mother would keep the statement wrapped around the checks with a rubber band, and it would be January, February, March, and so on and so forth for every single year in the attic. And if there was any debate about who paid for what and how it was paid, and she could go, "Oh, it's up in the attic." Well, you can't do that anymore.
No.
How far back will a bank go, even for a statement or an actual? I mean, a paper check. When was the last time anyone saw a paper check? I don't know. It's been a while, right? So it's not so easy. So forensics is part of it for some of it. But if you are listening and you are also in a marriage with somebody that's a little covert and a little bit mysterious and not so open with sharing, and you feel like you don't have the upper hand and you're in the dark, you feel controlled, you don't feel safe, and you feel like you really need a little bit more of an edge so that you can go into your divorce knowing that you're making smart choices, both legally, financially, and emotionally, you have to work with the right professionals. So thank you, Mike. Thank you, Lauren. It means so much to me to have you on my team. And I appreciate the work you do. It has made the world of difference. So everybody, thank you for being here. Until next time. See you soon.
Thank you, Paulette.
Thank you, Paulette.
You're welcome. Pleasure.